Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Watch Listing, the podcast that helps you find out what's streaming and what's worth watching. I'm your host, Matt. With me is my co-host, Michael.
Hello, everybody.
And Michael, we are back for episode 2. So here it is. We've got tons of news to cover. We've got the second half of the month's releases to cover. But let's jump into some news here. We've got a ton of news here. How many times can I say news in a single sentence here? Michael, T.J. Miller. We know him as Ehrlich Bachmann.
Yes.
We know him as the funny guy, bartender in Deadpool.
Sure do.
We know him as the main character in the Emoji Movie.
Probably.
We know him as the guy who was dressed up as Santa in Office Party.
Most definitely.
We also are now going to know him as someone who got drunk on a train and called in a fake bomb threat.
Yes.
Did you hear about this?
I did. And it's T.J. Miller, so I kind of expected nothing less, if you know what I mean.
He's in a little bit of a spiral right now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad to see because he was fantastic as Ehrlich in Silicon Valley. And it was really sad to see him go.
Did you know, was he written off or did he ask to get off?
I think it was his choice, but he was written off very unceremoniously. It was also, it fit in with, I would assume, how Silicon Valley handles that. Like, it fit with the show. But he apparently got drunk, got in a fight with a lady on an Amtrak, I think. Maybe it was on a train. I'm assuming it's an Amtrak. And then, so he was pissed, so he called in a bomb threat and was describing this woman that he got in a fight with as having the bomb.
Huh.
So, needless to say, I don't think we're going to see a lot of T.J. Miller in the news for a while.
We'll see.
His, like, court sentence.
Yeah, from what I heard, it could be up to 5 years in prison. He's a celebrity, so probably not. But regardless, it's a major offense.
He'll get 18 months community service.
Oh yeah, probably.
But it sucks. T.J. Miller was funny,
and he's hilarious.
I mean, he's got these sexual harassment things that are going on. Now he's got this. It's like kind of a crappy person. Clean yourself up, make amends, turn your life around. Huh. And come back and be funny again.
Yes, please.
But let's move on to the next bit of news. Michael, you have an Amazon subscription.
I sure do.
Well, did you ever see the Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey vehicle, Dark Tower?
Unfortunately, I've just seen bits and pieces.
I don't think it's unfortunate because it was a flop.
Oh.
But Amazon, when the movie was announced or when the movie was coming out, was working on a connected TV show that they were going to be producing. And allegedly, Amazon is moving forward with that now. That will still, from my understanding, share the same universe as the Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba flop.
Huh.
So, are you familiar with the Dark Tower Stephen King universe at all?
Probably not as much as you are.
I'm actually not that much.
Oh.
But this is kind of his magnum opus, was the Dark Tower series. It's Roland Deschain, it's The Man in Black, Randall Flagg, it's The Crimson King, it's this huge thing, and it's a story that definitely lends itself to a TV series, and I think Amazon can do very well with the series, but yeah, I just think they need to divorce themselves of the movie and just pretend like it never existed, and then recast the gunslinger, which is Idris Elba, recast Randall Flagg, who is Matthew McConaughey, and just wipe the slate clean, and maybe it could be good.
Just like they're
doing with Lord of the Rings, apparently.
Oh, what?
Well,
really?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. But Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a flop in Hollywood, you might as well start off. I mean, it should probably be in the dumpster regardless, but Amazon's proving itself as a pretty successful, I don't know what you'd call it, like a film studio, so we'll see what it can come up with.
Yeah, I kind of felt that Netflix is the more shotgun approach, which is we'll give you anything and everything we can think of. Hopefully you like 5% of it.
Huh.
But Amazon seems to be much more focused. Not that they're great. They have a lot of misses, but they seem to hit the target more than Netflix has recently. While their shows are much more specific, they seem to be better. I don't know. I enjoy their I feel like I enjoy their shows more than I do the Netflix shows.
All I know is I've heard The Americans is on there for free, and I need to watch it.
It is, yeah, it is, and it's a really good show. You haven't watched any of it, have you?
No, not well. like the first 5 minutes, where an inappropriate act happens, but other than that, no.
Buttholes are violated.
Well, a lot's violated.
I don't know if it's violated if you ask for it.
Yeah, it's welcomed, but still violated.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's. I just feel like Amazon's got more of a focus, but we'll see. I don't know. But let's move forward here. David leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he's the director of Deadpool 2, the director of Atomic Blonde, the co-director of John Wick 1. He is on board. He is directing the Fast and Furious spinoff, Shaw and Hobbs. Rumored to be called that, with Jason Statham and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'll just go ahead and say I cannot express how excited I am for this movie. Their dynamic was amazing. They were the best part of Fast and Furious 8, which seemed to be an exercise in over gratuity of Vin Diesel's ability and making Vin Diesel look like Jesus to all foreigners. And it just, I did not enjoy Fast and Furious 8 in hindsight, or Fate of the Furious, I guess. But I'm really excited about what Shaw and Hobbs are going to be, and an action oriented director who is light on substance in the story, heavy on the action, perfect. So, Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, it only makes sense. I mean, I don't like everything The Rock does, but apparently, as far as revenue goes, he can do no wrong. I'm assuming he has like quite a following in Asia, because even
Huge.
Like these like San Andreas movies, they look pretty dumb, and they get like $80 million in America. But then they end up grossing like 60 or 600 million worldwide. So it only makes sense. And, you know, 1 and 2, Fast and the Furious, I liked quite a bit. 3 was Tokyo Drift, and it was okay. Then it kind of lost me for a bit, but now I'm kind of committed. I don't know if it was a Paul Walker effect or what it is, but I'm kind of into it. So when it comes out, I know I'll watch it.
Yeah, I think the biggest selling point for me, and if I remember, I will, but if I don't, I'll try to put a link to it in the show notes, but if I don't remember, just look it up yourself. It's the Shaw and Hobbs exchange in Fate of the Furious, where they're under the car, and they're just throwing zingers back and forth at each other. It's great.
On three?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
You know, Twinkle Toes, in another life, I bet me and you could have done some serious damage.
Yeah, we could have.
Yeah. Shame I'm gonna have to bounce your head off the fender when this is all over.
Ah, well, with all due respect, Captain, when this whole thing is over, we're gonna find a location, and I'm gonna knock your teeth so far down your throat, you're gonna stick a toothbrush right up your ass to brush them.
And even the outtakes is more of that. if you own that movie. And it's, I mean, they're great and they work super well together. And Jason Statham's going to come up a little bit later tonight, but I love Jason Statham. I've loved him for years, back to The Transporter. And I know he did movies before then, but that was where my first interaction with him was. And The Rock can do almost no wrong. He's just great. He's so two of the most charismatic and likable people in Hollywood are making a movie together. I'm in.
Can't go wrong.
And I honestly think that if this movie does well, this is going to spawn its own like 5 or 6 spinoffs.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No, because these guys can pump out movies like nobody's business, and they'll do like one of these every 2 years.
Oh yeah,
until the end of time. But let's move on here. It's it is a good time. Speaking of multiple spinoffs here, Toy Story 4 now has a release date of June 2019. Now, Michael, let me ask you: how much do you love the Toy Story franchise?
Oh, love it. Grew up on it.
Did you cry a little bit during Toy Story 3?
Oh my gosh, the scene when you thought they were going to like all be destroyed? Is that what you're talking about?
There's multiple scenes.
Oh man, but I got all choked up when they all like started holding hands and you're like, this is the end of a decade. And not to spoil it, but things work out. There's going to be a fourth.
Yeah, so there's so much excitement and so much reservation for me for this.
Yeah.
Because this is the fourth series. Now, normally this would be the point at which it's like, okay, this is make or break time for them. If they knock this out of the park, then there will be, I guarantee, I feel like there's going to be 6 or 7 more Toy Story movies. If they prove that they can break the trilogy, because that's usually the point. It's the movie after the trilogy ends. If they can make it past that, then it's a sustainable franchise. Now, Toy Story also has the fact that it's just got the cultural zeitgeist that people know Buzz, people know Woody, these like two very iconic characters that are like very, not stereotypical. What's the word I'm trying to say? They're very archetype characters.
Archetypical?
Yeah. Is that a word?
Archetypal? Archetype.
We'll just call them archetype.
Archetypal? screw it. I can't do it.
Archetypal?
From what I've heard, though, we all know this. They're going to be missing a key component this time.
Yeah, and that's my concern, is that like this is the make-or-break moment for them. And they're missing one of the key parts. And I don't want to get it too much into what is going on. I mean, other than John Lasseter is not involved in this one, or I think was involved in the early stages and is now no longer involved. John Lasseter obviously had a ton of sexual allegations against him, or sexual harassment allegations against him. And I wonder, without him, how much was the rest of the team? Will they be able to carry on without him? And I think he was a little bit as much as he was allegedly a crappy person outside of his direct movie directing. He was the heart and soul, I think, of these Toy Story movies, and I'm interested to see how much the team can rally together and put together a story that really is going to decide whether we're going to see Toy Story beyond the original three, or if this is going to be Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, society. Grown man writing about toys. Give him a sex scandal or two, and let him get back to his work.
Well, he's not going to be involved in it. I mean, he's done. He's out. But do you think that this movie is going to be able to reach the high? I mean, I didn't think that 2 could do as well. And I remember as a kid, I saw 1 came out in 95. 2 came out 99, I think.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
And I think, and three came out, God, after I was out of high school. So after 2005.
Yeah, probably so, at least 2009.
But at least 10 years had passed since the last one. And I didn't think that that one would work.
Yeah.
And it was so well done. I mean, three is, in my opinion, nostalgia aside, three is the best one out of the entire series to me. I don't know where it lands for you.
It's really good. Yeah, I love it.
But, yeah, I'm just wondering if they're going to be able to recapture the magic there, because that's a huge loss, not having him involved. But, you know, if he did what he did, allegedly, then he's kind of a dirtbag, and he probably shouldn't be involved.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to darker things.
Ooh.
Much darker things, as in It 2 casting. It, the Stephen King novel. I'm so excited about this. I'm like practically jumping out of my seat. I'm so excited about this. So It Chapter 2 is being currently cast, is scheduled for filming in July of this year. And they're looking for anybody who doesn't know, It, the Stephen King novel, is about children in the 50s in the book. In the movies, it was like 85 or something like that. But it's children who fight this otherworldly evil, essentially defeat it, and then they're called back when they're adults to come and finish the job that they didn't finish, basically. So now It Chapter One was the children dealing with this otherworldly evil, and now they're casting for It Chapter Two, which is going to be the adults, the grown-up version of all these children that we saw. So, most famously, Finn Wolfhard of Stranger Things was a Richie Tozer character, if you're familiar with It. He's kind of a jokester. I'm trying to think of any of the other notable kids. They're all kind of unknowns. But now they're casting the adult versions of these characters. And Jessica Chastain has been announced as Beverly, the sole female character of the Losers Club. And now Bill Hader and James McAvoy are rumored to be in the process of joining this movie. Now, Bill Hader is rumored to be Richie Tozer, the adult version of Finn Wolfhard. What a name. And James McAvoy is rumored to be Bill, the leader of the Losers Club. Now, Michael, do you have any familiarity with It at all?
None whatsoever.
Okay. So I'm going to insert a clip here of Richie Tozer, Finn Wolfhard as Richie Tozer, just to give you kind of a taste of the character. And then maybe right now I'm going to put also a clip of Bill Hader in his, like, comedy prime to kind of give you an idea of why they fit.
Best feeling ever.
Yeah? Try tickling your pickle for the first time.
They slice the tip of his dick off.
But then stand alone, nothing left.
That's true.
You want to spend your summer inside of an arcade?
You'd spend it inside of your mother.
But Finn Wolfhard plays Richie Tozer, who's this very, he's a jokester, and he uses jokes to kind of deflect from the seriousness of what's going on around them. You know, this extra-dimensional monster who's murdering children, like eating them. But, let me back up here. Do you even know the basic premise of It?
No. I know there's a clown.
Okay, so there is a clown, Pennywise, who it's a monster who manifests in the form of the fear of the children it's trying to hunt. And it appears every 27 years, I think, in this town called Derry, Maine. And these children, you know, one of the main characters, Bill, his brother, why can't I think of the brother's name? Georgie. Is killed by Pennywise. And then these group of kids who are kind of outcasts, they band together, they defeat Pennywise. But they don't actually ultimately kill him. They just wound him enough, but he comes back 27 years later again. So these kids, they're like 13 when this happens. 27 years later, they're adults. Pennywise is back. They come back together because they have to finally defeat Pennywise. So part one was them as kids. Part two is them as adults. The TV movie kind of combined those two parts of the story. The book intercuts between the two parts of the story. So this is just how they're going to finish it out. So I'm super excited. I talked long enough about this. Let's move on to the next bit of news. And this is, Michael, I'm going to have to lean hard on you for this one. Is Disney has released an ESPN Plus streaming service, further complicating why we do this podcast.
I've heard about that.
So, allegedly, the service is less than $5. I didn't hear the exact price point, but this is ESPN, everything you want on ESPN for like a couple bucks a month. Are you going to get this?
So I don't have cable, so I'm not, I don't have ESPN, but I do have a friend who gave me his email address and password. So I have access to ESPN Go. So I will not be getting this unless my friend decides not to be a good friend, in which case I would probably consider it. But this is just a case of ESPN being behind the times, because I feel like they should have been doing this kind of subscription thing at least 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, any sports thing.
Yeah.
I mean, who are the big players? Let me think here. So it's like TNT, ESPN, and then local networks. Those are the big dogs for NBA games, football games. I mean, does ESPN have a lot of NFL games?
Well, so...
And this is really... I just want to preface this. This is showing you how much involvement I have in the sports world. I don't know. So, I like literally nothing. So just forgive me on that. But yeah, so go ahead, Michael. So how much does ESPN have?
I mean, they're like what? Like network television, but MLB, NBA, and NHL. Oh, and I guess NFL too. They have their own networks that you can subscribe through like DirecTV and Comcast for like a subscription of $99.99, I think, a season. Jeez. But apart from that, yeah, I don't know why ESPN hasn't been offering something like this. So it'll be a huge benefit. I don't know how it's going to work with. I know YouTube is talking about making their own YouTube TV, but yeah, if anything goes awry or astray or whatever, I'll probably think about getting the subscription.
Yeah, I just can't. Yeah, if anything, the only thing I can imagine is that they would unify people. So they would sign deals with, because I'm trying to think of who airs the MLS out here. I can't remember what the group is.
Root Sports, maybe?
Probably Root Sports. We live in the Pacific Northwest. But Root Sports, like somebody who can, like ESPN is somebody who could align everybody under their subscription and then maybe offer all that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. They don't offer anything different than like a TNT or, is it TNT or TBS that airs NBA games?
TNT.
Yeah, so like a TNT or like your local Fox.
Well, shoot, maybe it's TBS something. I'm starting to doubt myself.
No, I think it's TNT. I think you're right. But it, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because it's so many subscriptions right now. Who wants to sign up for like five different subscriptions to get these shows? It's like, well,
yeah.
Let's just ESPN could unite the seven, or you know, whatever. But anyways, let's move on to a new segment we're going to call Going to the Comic Book Universe, which is all the comic book universe news, because there's enough of it. But we're going to blast through this real quick here. So Fox, FX, home of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, is working on a Why the Last Man pilot. Michael, do you know anything of Why the Last Man?
I got nothing.
Let me elaborate. Yorick is a man. He wakes up one day to find out his world completely changed. All the men with a Y chromosome, so anybody with a Y chromosome, is dead. There's a disease that wipes out all men on the universe except for him. And it's him and his male monkey, ampersand. They travel the world that is now dominated by women. And it was a comic written by Brian K. Vaughan, and now it's finally getting developed into an FX pilot. I'm so excited. Originally, it was going to be, I don't know if anybody remembers or anybody cares, Shia LaBeouf was originally attached to this to produce and star as Yorick. But that fell apart back in like 2010. But man, I'm excited. This is like one of my favorite comic book series of all time. And it's a world of what happens when there's no men around. Do you think you'll check this out? Are you even like remotely excited?
No, not entirely.
Do you trust FX? They don't have a really solid track record, I guess.
No, they don't have like an AMC, you know.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a more mature comic. There's definitely a lot of things that happen in the book that couldn't be aired on like Fox. But so I think it could be good. And now that Shia isn't involved, I'm excited. But are you excited for a new Batgirl writer, Michael? Did you know that there was a Batgirl movie coming out?
It's probably safe to assume with the huge movement going on. So it's good that they're finally doing it, but no, unfortunately, if you guys don't know who are listening from our previous podcast, I'm a little burnt out on the whole superhero movement. However, I am a huge X-Men fanatic, and I am certainly excited for the upcoming Avengers Apocalypse. Wait, not Avengers Apocalypse, Infinity Wars.
No, you just cemented the fact that people know that you're not. That's fine.
Where am I?
Because my enthusiasm will meet your brick wall, and then people will just enjoy that dynamic.
And that's what I'm hoping, because Matt loves his comic books. I've known him for, gosh, probably 12 years, and yeah, he knows what he's talking about. So if he says it's good, I'm going to trust him.
Well, I don't know if this one's good, Michael, because Batgirl, the movie that's currently in production with DC, was originally going to be written by Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon dropped out. He said, I don't have a story. I don't know what I'd do with this character. Now, this is Joss Whedon who created Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This is Joss Whedon who did Avengers. And he's in the midst of a little bit of trouble himself.
Yeah.
He's apparently a serial affairist. Serial cheater, I guess, is the best way to put it, according to his ex-wife. That may be slander. That may be real. We don't know.
We'll see.
But allegedly is the word I use. So he stepped down, and I think probably for the best, because you don't want somebody who is allegedly a serial cheater to be writing a female-centric movie. And Christina Hodson is now the new writer for the Batgirl movie.
Hmm.
And now she is known for the upcoming Bumblebee movie that's going to be coming out, which is set in the 80s, and 2017's Unforgettable featuring Katherine Heigl. Doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
No.
I really don't understand why DC keeps taking these big swings. I mean, take big swings, but take smart big swings. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good choice. It's really up to how Bumblebee does. Do you think, I think Bumblebee comes out next year. Are you going to see that at all?
Oh, probably not.
So, yeah, that kind of, I mean, unless the trailer's like a, let's be fair, it's got to do a lot of legwork before it gains your respect enough to be able to go see it, right? I mean, it's got to prove its mettle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ultimately, this is like another DC venture, so they don't have much to prove, in my opinion.
I mean, did you see Wonder Woman?
I haven't, actually.
Wow, you really should watch that. I think the last superhero movie you saw was Suicide Squad, maybe?
I think you're right, actually.
Which is depressing.
It's very.
And I believe I dragged you to that. Or no, well, you didn't. I didn't drag. I dragged Adam to that, our former co-host.
I actually saw it by myself.
Wow, that's even more depressing.
I was very depressed. Thanks, Jared Leto.
But this really has gotta do something to draw you back in. And Wonder Woman's a great movie, though. I will say, I'm not gonna be you haven't seen it, but Wonder Woman's good. Like, legitimately a good movie. And Gal Gadot's great in the movie.
I should watch that.
Rather, it's on HBO.
For free?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap. Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Check that out. But, yeah, it's a good movie. And rather than making all the Amazonian women speak in like a Mediterranean accent, they just made everybody talk Israeli, like Gal Gadot. You'll see it. You'll notice it when you see the movie. Anyways, let's move on. We got a lot of news here. So, Zack Snyder. Oh, boy. This is one that I'm going to mention it real quick here, Michael. You can go ahead and chime in if you feel like it. Zack Snyder's back in the news. He is explaining a ton of things that didn't make sense in Batman vs. Superman. And Flashpoint is no longer called Flashpoint. Do you care, or can we move on?
Move on.
Okay. In big, big news, we've got a Disney and Fox deal will supposedly be completed by summer 2019, according to the Fox president, Peter Rice. So that means don't expect the X-Men in Infinity War.
Huh.
But this is good news. Sounds like it's kind of a sure thing at this point. What do you think, Mike?
It's about time.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this on a comic book universe level. I'm really excited to see the X-Men and Fantastic Four coming back to the Marvel fold. But at the same time, a huge percentage of the movie studio, like distributors, like this is all going to be under Disney now. And I don't think that's a good thing.
No, probably not, actually.
Because they're gonna control, like, I think it's like 30 or 40% of all distribution.
Oh my gosh!
And property, because I mean, what do they? Oh, there's a whole list. I can't even remember everything that's coming out, like, that they would control. If I can remember, I know I'm promising a lot of links. Hopefully, I'm paying attention when I'm editing this episode to remember all the links. But there's a huge list of like what they'll control, and honestly, I would like it if Disney goes, okay, we bought Fox. You know what? We're putting everything else outside of Marvel up for sale. Because really, the big things they're getting from Fox is the Marvel rights and the distribution rights for A New Hope. Because 21st Century Fox owns the distribution rights for A New Hope.
Really?
Which is one of the reasons that's been supposed why we haven't seen like an uncut, unspecial edition version of the original trilogy of Star Wars. But I don't want them to own, like, they would own a ridiculous amount of things.
Yeah,
stuff that they don't care about.
It'd be a monopoly at that point.
Absolutely. That's why I'm surprised the deal is frankly going forward. So I hope that there's like contingencies to just let things go.
Sure.
But speaking of letting go, let go of your anxiety in waiting for Black Panther, because it is coming out on May 8th, digital, and the 15th on Blu-ray. Who's excited for it? kind of not me.
I haven't seen it.
I'm excited to show my wife it, but I don't really, I have another podcast, Earth 919. If you want to hear what I thought about Black Panther, go back and listen to that episode.
It's fantastic.
But the movie was fine. It just, I feel like a lot of people felt the pressure to say that they liked it more than they did. And that's about all I'll say about that. But
sounds like a race issue.
Sounds like there might have been race involved in this movie.
Wakanda.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I equate it to Doctor Strange in terms of quality and my enjoyment of the movie. And that's all I'll say. I'm gonna buy the movie when it comes out. So, you know, whatever. Take that for what it's worth. But, Michael, let's take a trip to the trailer park because we've got a few trailers here. Let's start off with Ocean's 8. Now, this is the kind of prequel. I guess we're not really sure, but this is the story of Danny Ocean's sister as she assembles 8 Oceans to complete a heist. So do you see this, Michael? This is Sandra Bullock. There's Awkwafina. I've never heard of her before.
It's a hashtag Me Too movement.
Is that her name? Like, is that a thing? Like, what? I legitimately don't understand this.
No, I'm not sure.
Did the Awkwafina water bottle, like, take on life and sentience?
She's an ocean now.
Hmm. Water and water, I get it.
Yeah.
But Helena Bonham Carter, Anne Hathaway, Cate Blanchett, Mindy Kaling, there's more. Rihanna. God, I mean, this is a huge cast. I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm excited for this movie. I love Steven Soderbergh movies. I know that this is not Steven Soderbergh. This is Gary Ross, which makes me a little concerned.
I don't like Gary Ross.
What is he? I was going to look up before we started recording and I didn't get a chance. What has he done before?
Well, he did the first Hunger Games.
Oh, no.
He did, what was Out. That? What was that horse racing movie? Do you remember that? Really corny. He really doesn't have much of a history at all. Did he do...
Oh, are you talking about the one with Toby McGuire?
Yeah, I believe so.
Seabiscuit?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did Seabiscuit.
Why is that in my head? I hate the fact that that's in my head. Okay, so not a strong track record. And the problem is... The Ocean's movies are so strongly tied to the Steven Soderbergh aesthetic. It's like going to see, like, it would be like, and we'll tie, I'm sure this will tie in later to recommends, but it would be like if you saw Isle of Dogs directed by David Fincher or something. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Isle of Dogs is so uniquely a Wes Anderson movie. And the Ocean's movies are so uniquely a Steven Soderbergh movie. You cannot divorce the director from the franchise. And I just... Boy, but I mean, the trailers seem like they've kind of got the aesthetic, but...
We'll see.
I don't know. But then it has James Corden. Get him out of there.
Yeah.
Can we, like... Can we just have, like, a James Corden-free edit?
Ugh.
And then there's great Anne Hathaway. She's great. She's fantastic. And I'm looking forward to this movie though,
I'm
not sure how it's going to be. Well, she seems so out of place in there, and that works to the advantage of the other characters playing off of her because Sandra Bullock is great, and she's going to carry the movie. I know it. And Helena Bonham Carter, it's going to be nice to see her not with Johnny Depp and not with crazy hair. And not casting spells.
That's Eva Green's job now that Tim Burton and her broke up.
Her, Josh Hartnett, and Johnny Depp just casting spells, greasy hair, dark alleys. Victorian age dress.
Boom.
Let's move on, though. We've got a Han Solo trailer. The Han Solo Star Wars movie trailer is out. How excited are you for this? Daenerys in Star Wars.
Oh, I can't wait. I hope they do a good job.
You're excited for this movie?
For Han Solo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's got to be better than Rogue One.
Whoa. Shots fired here.
No, I know you loved Rogue One.
I do enjoy Rogue One. You didn't like Rogue One?
No, I loved it, but it was so against Star Wars because it left you without hope. Because everyone you cared about.
That was the best part.
Everyone in that movie died. And in Han Solo, at least, you know, at least the main two characters live.
Chewie and Han?
Yeah, well.
And Lando. But sure. You know that Emilia Clarke is going to die because she doesn't exist in the universe by the time the movie comes around. Or by the time New Hope comes around.
Well, we'll see.
She's going to be the tragic woman.
Probably. But
she's going to be she's a plot point. Character.
We all need a Qui-Gon Jinn.
I love everybody involved in this movie except like Alden Ehrenreich or whatever his name is. Alden Third Reich. But I just don't care. I'm not excited for this movie. But I'm still gonna see it in the theater. Just not excited. But
yeah.
It seems like it's gonna be a greatest hits of what was mentioned in the previous movies.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Let me talk about a movie that's going to surprise you. That's Meg.
I am unwilling to talk about this movie.
Why?
It's a freaking 70-foot shark. I don't like a 2-foot shark.
It's based off of a real, like, the sharks used to be this big. Prehistoric sharks.
Look, I said whatever The Rock did was gold. Jason Statham, that's another story.
He's testing the metal.
He sure is.
So we got a Meg trailer. Now I've been excited for this movie since it was announced. It's Jason Statham versus a Megalodon shark. So Megalodon sharks, if you don't know, forgive me if I'm not like prehistorically accurate or whatever, but sharks used to be the size of buses or larger, I'm pretty sure.
Supposedly.
Bigger than whales. Well, they do have jawbones of these gigantic sharks. So they were real. These aren't legend. This isn't Loch Ness. But this is Jason Statham as some kind of... I have a hard time believing he's some kind of scientific researcher. him and... Was it... It's not Ken Watanabe, is it?
Oh, we could move past this whenever you want.
No, I want to talk about this one. It's just because... So the trailer is very tense and there's this looming monster in the background. And then about halfway through this trailer, it just cuts to like Frank Sinatra and like makes it all jokey and quippy, which makes me extremely worried for how this movie is going to play out. But it's Jason Statham versus a shark in a submarine that's more capable than what James Cameron wrote in when he went to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. So
sure.
I'm excited for this movie. I'm still going to watch it. I'll see it in the theater. I'm going to see it because I love Jason Statham. He's a big draw for me.
Yeah.
He's a movie star, or he's going to be.
Sounds like we should move into what's coming to Netflix.
Sounds like Michael doesn't want to talk about Meg anymore.
No, not at all.
All right, well, let's, speaking of sharks, let's move into the meat of the episode here. And that will be what is coming in the next few weeks and what we recommend out of what is already out there from now till the end of the month. So let me pull out my list here. Let's start with Netflix here, Michael.
Yeah.
So recording here on the 12th. This episode will ideally be out on the 13th. So, as of April 13th, we'll have your very excited...
Definitely.
Very anticipated show. Oh, wow. And there's actually a few things I'm excited for here on the 13th. Chef's Table Pastry is going to be coming out. Coming Sunday. I Am Not an Easy Man. That's not a statement. That's the name of a show. Lost in Space, Season 1. Magic School Bus Rides Again, Season 2. April 15th, we've got Lakeview Terrace, 7 pounds. April 17th, we've got The Chalet and the Honeymoon Stand-Up Special Collection. We've got Friend Request and Pele on April 18th. 19th, we've got Charte and Chasing the Dragon. April 20th, we've got Agasuko and Dope Season 2, Dude, Conachrome, Mercury 13, Spy Kids, Mission Critical Season 1. April 21st, we've got The Letdown. April 24th, we've got Call the Midwife and Kevin James' Never Don't Give Up. April 25th, we've got Bill Nye, Science Guy, and Psychokinesis. April 27th, we have 3% Season 2, Bobby Kennedy for President, Candy Jar, Holy Goalie, The Man Who Knew Infinity, New Legends of the Monkey Season 1, and The Week of. Michael, how many of these shows are you actually excited for?
Let's see here. So, Chef's Table, Pastry, I'm going to watch that, you know.
Yeah, just the day it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably going to stay up till midnight to watch it.
Yeah, based on, well, we'll see. That's one of those shows that I can't watch without my wife. So, based on Reputation, Chef's Table's fantastic. The more I see of Lost in Space, the more interested I actually get. So I'll probably actually check that out. I don't have kids, but I love the Magic School Bus. So perhaps I'm going to miss a couple weeks here.
You and your friend Evan Williams have to be acquainted before you'll sit down for an episode of Magic School Bus. But
I love the show when I grew up on it. But yeah, we'll see. Not as much as Kevin James, though. I'll probably miss... I don't find him funny at all. So Bill Nye, on the April 25th, I'll probably check an episode or two of that out. He was featured on the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale.
No, the Penis McHale Show with Penis McHale.
There you go. You got it. You watched it.
I finally did, yeah.
So I'm kind of intrigued by that. Bobby Kennedy for President is a documentary. If you like history, check that out. I haven't watched it, but I can assure you I'll be watching that sometime at the end of the month. But other than that, gosh, that's about it. What's that, like 4 or 5?
Yeah, yeah.
If you have kids, I mean, there's quite a few options here. But yeah. I don't. So April's a little disappointing on Netflix.
Yeah, so I could tell you, my kids are going to love the Magic School Bus rides again. They watched the original series. They like the new series. And it is surprisingly faithful to the original series, the new one.
Oh, cool.
So it's good, and I think my kids will watch that. Chef's Table is one I really mean to watch, but it's like... this is like seeing like season 4 or 5 of Riverdale coming on. It's like... I feel like so late to the game. I need to go back and watch the original series. Then I need to go watch the other ones. Like, because these are all kind of like, they're not like continuing seasons. Now they kind of take the form of specific talents, I guess, is the best way to put it, maybe. But it is an interesting show. And but I would always recommend watching the documentary now. I'll find
that's
it.
That's right.
You know which one it is, where someone dreams of chicken or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the play on Jiro Dreams of Sushi, and it's kind of pokes fun at all the cooking shows. Anyways, we'll get into that later because we actually need to recommend that stuff later. But Lost in Space, I'm actually really excited for. I know the 90s movie was bad, but I enjoyed it. But this is a series that they could kind of do anything they want and kind of change the show however they feel necessary, because it's not like this really beloved Star Trek level series. They can do whatever they want and they can make it really great. So I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, man, the end of April is actually really sparse. Kevin James, stay away from it. Don't watch it. And then, Bobby Kennedy for President. That actually does sound interesting, Michael, because man, that like conspiracy theories and stuff have always captivated me, and there's so many conspiracy theories surrounding Bobby Kennedy's assassination. So that'll be a good thing to watch. I think we can check that out. So let's move on to Hulu. April 14th, we've got Delt. April 15th, A Teacher, American Gangster, Girls and Boys, Fame, Hollow in the Land, Howl, In the Bedroom, Life is Beautiful, Master of Disguise, Off Label, Shut Up and Play the Hits, Slumber, The Importance of Being Earnest, The Messenger. April 16th, we've got The Relation Trip. The 18th, we've got Tragedy Girls. The 19th, we have Love Island, Loving Vincent, The Only Way to Essex. 20, we've got Z for Zachary. The 24th, we've got Vikings Season 5. April 25th, The Handmaid's Tale. The 26th, Into the Night, Portrait of Life and Death. 27th, The Tiny Shoulders, Rethinking Barbie. The 28th, Hitchcock's Shower Scene. The 29th, we have Permanent. And on the 30th, we have 1,000 Junkies, The Carmichael Show, Season 3, and Unsolved Mysteries, Seasons 19 through 14. Holy crap. So anything stand out there for you?
A few things. American Gangster, I remember seeing that in probably around 2007, 2008 with, Denzel Washington.
Denzel, yeah. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yeah. It was a decent movie. If you're a fan of Denzel, obviously give it a watch, right?
That was kind of the cresting of Denzel.
Yeah.
It was after Man on Fire.
He was fading out.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of him, I think, trying to capture the lightning back in the bottle again.
Sure. Master of Disguise, I've never seen it, but I remember desiring Dana to see Kirby. That. Yeah, I remember wanting to see it when I was about 10. So if you have the mind of a 10-year-old, maybe check that out. It's free on Hulu right now. Or it will be very soon.
It's Dana Carvey wearing a bald cap, acting like a turtle in a blow-up suit. You got to watch it.
Yeah, and I mean, on the Oscar Academy Award level, Loving Vincent, I cannot wait to see this. I'm going to watch this 100%. April 19th.
What's that one about?
It's a stop-motion film. They hired 300 painters to paint. I believe they did over...
This is the Vincent van Gogh thing, right?
Yeah, they did over, 30,000 different paintings, and every single movement is a different oil painting. So it's fascinating. I don't know how it didn't win Best Animated Picture. I think Baby Boss or some stupid film like that won. I'm pretty privy to...
I own the Boss Baby, so...
Oh, that's too bad. April 24th. I'm already caught up, but if you haven't watched Vikings and you love like a Game of Thrones kind of show, Vikings is the show for you. It's historic. It's fascinating. It follows Ragnar Lothbrok. I mean, Matt's laughing right now, but you can look up the details. It's not necessarily completely historic, but it's close enough for me. My wife is a huge fan of The Handmaid's Tale. I need to do some catch up, but April 25th, you better believe she'll be watching it, and hopefully I'll be caught up by then to watch it. And apart from that, Hitchcock's Shower Scene. Obviously, that's about a masterpiece, Psycho. So if this was recommends, I'd recommend you watching Bates Motel, which they kind of messed around with that scene in the final season. But that sounds like an interesting documentary, being as that definitely, it was like the Jaws of taking a shower. When you had soap in your eye, you couldn't wait until you got the soap out of your eye because you thought maybe someone would be trying to kill you because of Psycho. So that might be pretty interesting to watch as well. But that probably concludes Hulu for me. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, so I think the only thing I'm going to mention here is Handmaid's Tale. I'm very much looking forward to it. We mentioned in the last episode, I've got to watch it. I haven't yet, but I'm going to. I've got to check this out because I fell in love with the soundtrack. Sorry if you hear my children crying in the background. My wonderful wife is holding off the beasts until we get done recording. But Handmaid's Tale, my wife watched the first season. She loved it, and I just got to get into it. But that's really the only thing that sticks out for me. Oh, and Unsolved Mysteries. I loved Unsolved Mysteries as a kid, so check that out.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Amazon Prime. So you've got April 13th, Bosch. April 15th, Fame. Fame's coming around, making the rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
April 18th, Adia's Secrets. April 23rd, Red Rock Season 3. April 24th, Vikings Season 5. April 25th, Vanishing of Sydney Hall. And April 27th, All or Nothing Dallas Cowboys Season 3. And Little Big Awesome Season 1A. I'm going to go ahead and start this one off, Michael. The only thing that is worth mentioning to me is Bosch Season 4. I am so excited for tomorrow. I love that show. Titus Welliver is fantastic. If you haven't watched Bosch, you really need to go back. It was a Amazon pilot show that was developed, got like 4 years ago now, and it is a great show. A lot of Wire alums, The Wire, the HBO show, The Wire, a lot of their alums are in this show. Titus Welliver, you probably know him from Lost as the Man in Black. He was in the most recent Transformers movies. I mean, he is great, and he is a very commanding man. So check that out. Michael, anything for Amazon for you? Pretty sparse.
Yeah, I was going to mention Bosch just off of reputation. I need to watch it. I've had several people mention how good it is. Other than that, I mean, April 24th, Vikings, but I've already talked about that, so that'll do it for Amazon.
Okay, let's move on to HBO. So April 13th, I'm just going to give the English translation of this, a.k.a. Midnight Sun, but it appears to be a Hispanic show. Wyatt Kinnick's Problem Areas series premiere. April 14th, we have Elvis Presley, The Searcher, Part 1 and 2. And the 16th, we have I Am Evidence. The 20th, we have Zana Hostile, which is a.k.a. Rescue Under Fire. April 21st, we've got War for the Planet of the Apes. The 22nd, we have Westworld Season 2 premiere. And 27, Canelo and Golovkin? I don't know. I may have just butchered that. And the 28th, we have The Hitman's Bodyguard. And I'll start this one off, Michael. War for the Planet of the Apes. You got to check that out if you love the series. The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and The War for the Planet of the Apes. The Planet of the Apes series is really good. And this one ends the series very excellently. The motion capture has never been better, and I've never seen a series where the main antagonist is a CGI monkey and you care more about him than the all-star actors that have played the human opposites of him for three movies now. So, see it for Andy Serkis, stay for, Toby Kebbell. I don't know. CGI. I don't know. It's good. And Westworld, obviously, check that out. If you haven't seen it, it's really good. It's very cerebral. It's very mystery box at first, but they actually pay it off very well. It's written by Jonathan Nolan and his wife, for Lisa Nolan, I believe. But they're the writing duo, and it starts off very mystery box because J.J. Abrams was involved. But they actually do pay off everything. And it ends very, very well and sets up the next season very, very well. And Hitman's Bodyguard, if you're looking for a dumb action movie, like you've just got time to kill, or you're just like, I don't know what to watch, put something on in the background, Hitman's Bodyguard, that's your choice. So, Michael, anything stand out for you?
I was going to say the exact same three. I don't have anything to add to the first two, so I would say Hitman's Bodyguard. I mean, it has Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson. Let's see. I think Gary Oldman. And I know it has Richard E. Grant. So, I mean, it might be worth checking out.
I haven't seen Westworld, but I certainly mean to, so I'm going to check that out.
So, Michael, you like Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah, the only thing that's holding me back, and I think I said it last episode, was the nudity, but we can get over that, right?
Yeah, and it definitely tapers down, and it's not, whereas I think Game of Thrones used it as a hook. This show more uses it as a story element.
Yeah.
And it has a purpose, if that makes sense. It's because it think of it as it's a park. It's an amusement park where you can take your kids and have this like Disneyland style adventure. And then it's also the same place where you as an adult, if you were just totally debaucherous, could go into this place and just like rape robots that are human realistic.
The dream.
And it's you've always told me this. You've always said I wish I could just go into a park and rape human realistic robots.
Yeah.
And then usually I have to hang up after that. No, you've always told me that you're like into like robot stuff. But it serves a point in that it shows kind of the world that they live in, where it's just these like debaucherous people who have so much money, and it's a world devoid of disease. Like it's set in the future, so they've cured like most of man's problems. So it's like, well, we just go back to this time just to kind of entertain ourselves. Whereas I think Game of Thrones, it was like, here's boobs, check out the show. Huh. So I don't know. I mean, that's up to you, but I would say it's definitely worth a watch because it's a very cerebral show.
Yeah.
And that there's like, you've got to be paying attention to everything going on. But it has a really good payoff. And Evan Rachel Woods is next level phenomenal. And Jeffrey Wright is also amazing. But it's a good show. Okay. Was there anything else for HBO?
That's it.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our second to the last segment, which is what have we been seeing? That's not necessarily what that segment's going to be called. But so it's movies in the theater that we've seen in between episodes. So I've really only got one, but I think you have a few. So why don't you start off, Michael? What have you seen in the theater? What would you recommend that's out right now for people to check out?
Well, my big one, I guess it's kind of, well, no, I'll just say it. Isle of Dogs came out full release this is released April 13th. Last week it came out. If you like Wes Anderson, you'll love this movie. I feel like his pacing is getting a bit slower, but this was also a movie that's stop motion, and I believe it took about 4 years to make, so I really don't blame him for stopping the action just to get some dialogue in, but I really enjoyed it. I did have some friends see A Quiet Place. I am struggling with anxiety, so I chose not to see it. And they said, good for you, because we wanted to have a heart attack. So that means it was a fantastic movie. I haven't heard one bad review about A Quiet Place. So I guess if I had another, without actually seeing it, go see A Quiet Place, because it sounds like it's a movie to see, and I look forward to seeing it once it gets released about 10 a.m. on a Wednesday with all the windows open, because it sounds terrifying. I know Matt's planning on seeing it, but
I think I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah, so those are my recommends.
And I'm scared. I'm actually scared.
Yeah, maybe get Nat to come see you, who has been a guest of our past show.
Well, yeah, the last horror movie I saw was It, actually. And I think I saw that with a friend of the show, Brian.
Yeah.
And, I was scared when I watched that. But, A Quiet Place. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. But I think I watched a movie that I think we should both kind of speak to, because we both saw it. And we both are coming at this movie from different perspectives. Is Ready Player One. Now,
yeah.
Michael, you read the book. I didn't read the book.
Did.
I will say that I loved this movie. One of the funnest times I've had in the theater in recent memory. And how did you feel about it?
You know, I liked it.
So when you read a book and you know it's being adapted to the screen, which is actually why I chose to read this book, because I saw Steven Spielberg was making a movie about it. I was kind of reading it just so I could get a grasp of what it might look like. And there were certain things I was hoping they wouldn't include, and they didn't include them. However, they actually took a lot of liberties, which hurt my interpretation of the movie. So if you've seen, or I guess if you've read the book, go see it regardless. I mean, you read the book, so why not? But if you haven't, I think you'll really enjoy it. Some of the references are fantastic. It's just nothing like the book whatsoever. All the challenges, all the keys, when he meets Artemis. But regardless, it's visually stunning, and also it's not visually distracting, which was my huge concern. And also the book is really nerdy, since it has so many references to the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And it wasn't distracting at all. It played in really well. And I thought T.J. Miller, although his character was nothing like I-Rock was in the book, his character was fantastic. And his subtle humor was fantastic. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably cut out. I think there's probably somewhere in some like cardboard bin, there's a, like a film reel of all the like live action scenes they filmed with T.J. Miller.
Yeah,
that will never see the light of day, because I think everything that's been happening with him lately came out in the post production. They were like, "Yeah, we don't need to actually show him." But I love this movie. I really did, and I went into it thinking that it would be over the top, too many references. Too much like pop culture, like, hey, I know this and I know this and I know this. And I didn't feel like it did that, but I did feel that when it did kind of devolve into a, oh, this movie, like, so for instance, The Shining gets brought up, and how
not in the book,
Stephen King doesn't you know, hates the movie The Shining because he didn't get along with Stanley Kubrick, and how the movie came out versus the book interpretation. And it was like, so like instances like that, it felt like they were using pop culture kind of like as a weapon to beat you over the head with. But I feel like it was much more tapered than I was expecting. So it made it was, I could enjoy it. But man, the vocal cast was like next level. And I enjoyed the CGI versions of what was, or CGI versions, the CGI elements of the movie more so than I actually enjoyed the live action stuff. Like Ben Mendelsohn as what was his name in the movie, Michael, do you remember? The big evil
Sorrento.
Yeah, Sorrento. He, like, hit him as the, like, Warhammer character, I think it was who he was playing. And, like, Mark Rylance as the, like, the wizard sage who hands off a key.
Yeah, he did a really good.
I mean, everybody
really
was, everybody was such a good voice actor, which was so surprising. Because you wouldn't really, because there's so much emotion that has to go into voice acting to make you kind of sell you. And I really thought that the CGI elements were going to take me out of this movie. But, like, within the first 15 minutes, you're in the race. And I was just, like, ear-to-ear grinning. Like, I loved that race. Mm-hmm. That first part was just fantastic.
Yeah, not in the book.
And it should have been. The book was wrong.
The book was better.
But, I really enjoyed this movie. I was surprised. And the best part to me, honestly, it's so small. But, like, one thing that just, like, really hit it for me every single time was every time there was, like, Back to the Future references.
Oh, yeah.
You got the little Back to the Future trill that comes on. And I didn't know this. So this is the first Steven Spielberg movie that – I think it's the first Steven Spielberg movie that John Williams didn't score.
Oh, wow.
Because he scored The Post, which came out, like, Steven Spielberg did this, like, he was like, I've got post-production going on right now, I've got a little bit of time on my schedule, I'm going to film The Post. And he just filmed the post and got John Williams to do it. So this movie is scored by Alan Silvestri, who does most of the Marvel scores. So, like, all the MCU movies, he does the Marvel scores. Well, I didn't know this. Alan Silvestri was actually the John Williams for Rob Zemeckis, who directed Back to the Future, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Wow.
I mean, so, like, the Back to the Future theme is actually Alan Silvestri's, that was his creation. And it was really cool to hear his kind of tones throughout this, and I think he did a great job. So it was just kind of a stupid side note. But anyways, so that's the movies we've been checking out. So check those out if you have time. Definitely go out and see Ready Player One. I highly recommend it. And Michael would recommend Isle of Dogs.
Yeah.
So let's move into our last segment here before we get into plugs, is what we're into. So, Michael, do you have anything you've been into this past couple weeks?
Yeah, so we got done, my wife and I got done watching all the Harry Potter movies, and we decided to watch Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and we are pleasantly surprised at what we saw. I'm actually surprisingly excited about the new release. I wish J.K. Rowling would make more, actually. It left me wanting more. What's his butt, the main character? Matt?
Newt Salamander Scamander, whatever his name is.
Yeah, what's his real life name?
Oh, real name. Oh, God. What? Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne. I, for some reason, am not a big Eddie Redmayne fan, but he wasn't distracting, and he was actually enjoyable. As Newt Salamander or whatever.
You mean he didn't replicate his, what was that, Jupiter Ascending performance?
Oh, boy.
Where he talks like this. And then he talks like this!
Yeah, that was terrible. But, no, he did a great job. And I'm really excited to see this next one. So check that out if you haven't seen it yet. It's on Amazon Go for free. Or what, Amazon Video. It's not Amazon Go.
Yeah, Amazon. It's Prime Video.
Yeah, Prime Video. It's on Prime Video. I know what I'm talking about. It's on Prime Video for free.
It's on. Okay, it's on HBO Go.
Oh, shoot. I have HBO Go through Amazon, so it's on HBO Go for free.
It's on HBO. Check it out.
Yeah, there you go.
I love the Harry Potter books. I love the Harry Potter movies. I couldn't get into it, but...
But what are you into?
What am I into? I got a few things here. I'll be quick. So for anybody who doesn't know, I host a podcast, Earth 919 Comic Book Podcast. We talk about number one issues every single week. The best place for number one comic book news, reviews, everything.
It's actually great. I like it. I listened to a couple episodes for the first time.
Wow. Well, thank you for being a listener.
And I reviewed it.
Please support us.
Five
we
stars.
We need $25 donations.
I'm not going to do that. I say our Patreon.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Everything will absolutely always be free for that show. But anyways, I digress. I've been reading a new book called, not a new book, a new book to me called The Boys. Now, it's a book written by Garth Ennis. It's about a group of CIA operatives who are basically tasked with keeping the superhero community in check. It is violent. It is grotesque. It is vulgar. It is only for adults. So if you are a child, don't tell your parents you're reading it. If you're an adult, don't let your kids see you reading this. It's a really good book. I really enjoy it. And it's, I mean, and there's like a Simon Pegg character in there. And it's funny. It's great. I love it. Check that out. I won't say anything more than that, but it's very good. And Garth Ennis is a great writer. Next thing is Last Man on Earth. It's back. God, it just I hate every single time the winter break comes around, because I know every year that I'm not gonna know when Last Man on Earth comes back. And it just randomly started showing up, and now I have like four episodes to watch. So I watched the entire Fred Armisen arc. It's an arc, so you know, he's not a recurring character beyond the little spiel he does, but it's great. It's just as funny. It kills me. Michael, have you seen Last Man on Earth? Are you caught up yet?
No, I can't wait to see how Kristen Wiig plays out.
Oh, God, you're far behind. Fred Armisen shows up, Michael.
Yeah.
So check that out.
There you go.
And then the last thing I would recommend Roseanne. Man, there's two episodes out there. There's actually probably three by the time this episode comes out. No, it's going to be two. Man, I never watched the series, never cared for the show. And I just kind of heard that the first episode, or I heard the show was funny. I heard it was really good. Went and watched it, and I just died laughing. And I watched the second episode, died laughing. I cannot recommend this show enough. It's funny as heck. Even if you've never watched Roseanne in your life, it is totally worth getting into. And I think I'm probably going to go back and watch the original series now. It was that good. And so that's it for me. So let's move into our last segment here, and that is plugs. So, Michael, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at MPOSEY. That's M-P-O-S-E-Y, Matt.
You can follow me on Twitter at Armchair Matt. You can email the show. Let us know what we missed. Let us know shows that we should check out ourselves at armchairpodcast@gmail.com. I want to thank Braz Mataz for the intro and outro music, Mezcali Sangrita. And thanks for listening. And if you enjoy the show, please share with your friends. And please take the time to write, rate, review, subscribe. We will shortly be on Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, all that jazz. Still getting everything up and running. But thanks for listening. And check us out in a couple weeks here. Probably the first week of May, we'll have another episode out going over the May releases. So check that out. And with that said, thanks for listening, and have a great week. Goodbye.
See you later.